Traffic and politics, a dangerous mix for state politicians sometimes. And this week, it's the New South Wales government in trouble over its failed management of the F3. On Monday, the major freeway north from Sydney, linking the central coast and Newcastle, was blocked for 9 hours. The Premier has ordered an inquiry into the incident after labelling the Road and Traffic Authority's report inadequate. The motoring body, the NRMA, says it's concerned by problems with traffic management on this freeway. And the NRMA President, Wendy Machin, joins you now. Wendy, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Now, Wendy, road blockages can happen. They can happen anywhere, not just in New South Wales. But this one, this week, was a doozy. For the benefit of our non-Sydney listeners, can you just tell us briefly what happened?
Sure. It was a nightmare for just a lot of people coming from all over. You know, people were travelling from Canberra heading north and sat on that piece of road for 9 hours. What happened was a truck ran into the back of another vehicle on the F3, which is the Pacific Highway heading north out of Sydney. A bit before, I think, you get to the Hawkesbury, there was oil involved. I think one of them was a petrol tanker, and there were seriously injured people. So it was a severe crash, and there were some concerns, I believe, initially about stabilising one of the injured people. The RTA kept providing information that the road would not be closed for long, that, you know, for some time people were told, including, I think, ABC radio stations, it would only be closed for around about 45 minutes. So they decided to just shut the road down, try and deal with the incident, and then they would plan, I think, to open it and get going. Now, this has happened several times. It's not like this is a one-off, and it happened a couple of years ago, and there was a huge outcry because, again, of a car park, a massive car park building up on the freeway, and the RTA then said they would put plans into place so that people could cross over to the other side and use the opposite lanes, or one of them, so that they could keep the traffic moving.
And this is what's called the contraflow plan.
Exactly. This is the contraflow plan. And
so, Wendy, just let me stop you there for a second. Originally, though, the emergency services and police and RTA were saying, we expect to have this cleared in 45 minutes. It took how long before?
I think it took... The accident happened a bit after 11:30, and I don't think the road was fully cleared until very late that night, you know, between 10 and midnight. I'm not sure. Depends who you talk to.
Okay, but it was 9 hours before that contraflow emergency traffic plan was put into place.
That's right. It didn't get put into place till about 8, around 8, I think, at night.
Why on earth didn't... I mean, I guess this is what the NRMA wants to know. Why wasn't the contraflow emergency traffic plan, switching the traffic to the southbound lane to try and clear it, why wasn't that implemented? Is it a flaw with that emergency plan?
Well, it obviously has to be. And we've had different stories coming out from the RTA about why it wasn't implemented. Initially, we were told, well, the information on the RTA's own website showed that a number of these crossover points that allow traffic to get to the other side were not complete. However, they advised us and some media outlets last night they actually were complete. So all of the crossover points are apparently finished. So the question is, why didn't they use them? We've then heard, well, some of them weren't in the right place and there was a lot of distance and there may have been some backtracking involved, none of which makes much sense to me. And in any case, you'd have to question why you'd spend $28 million putting in crossover points that people can't use.
Mm. Now, so there is going to be an investigation into this, but you're also concerned that other elements, pretty basic elements of the emergency plan weren't put into place either. For instance, the distribution of water is meant to happen to people stuck for 9 hours on a freeway.
Well, absolutely, and there were reports of people getting sick from dehydration. So one of the basics of the plan is when that happens, that water will be available. What is actually meant to happen is when the crossover points are activated, there are little sheds with all of the gear, you know, the witch's hats and so on, and the equipment needed to distribute and get them happening. I'm not sure if that's where the water is meant to be coming from, but it's just an essential thing, and people were in some distress, obviously, the other night. So that's one of our concerns, and I guess one of our other concerns is just the apparent total failure of communications between the different agencies and with the public. So nobody knew what was going on. People were being told it will be open soon, and then they went on that road thinking that the traffic would clear, only to find that they sat there for up to 9 hours.
That's a big issue, isn't it? I mean, I'm not sure how you communicate with people throughout once you're in gridlock, how you let people know how long it's likely to be. But people are now complaining very loudly, as you would, but that they were led into the gridlock when it was well and truly locked down. They're allowed to join that gridlock and then got stuck there for another 5 or 6 hours.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, that's inexcusable. We obviously knew there was a problem there pretty early on. And one of the things that should have happened was clear communications between the different emergency authorities and the media to the public to give them alternatives to either stay where they were or to try and use a different route if possible. Not that there were many options, but at least they could have done things to help people avoid sitting in a traffic jam on the F3 for up to 12 hours.
Okay, Wendy, we must go, but very briefly, what does the NRMA want? You want to be a part of this investigation?
We do. We actually wrote and asked for information the day after it happened. We were told we couldn't have that. We're glad to see that the former police commissioner is having a look at this and hope that it will be a public investigation, because I think people have a right to know the answers to these questions. And I think we feel that if we've gone off and spent $28 million on a plan to have crossover lanes and it's failed, its first major test, then we've got to go back and revisit that plan.
Back to the drawing board. Wendy Machin, absolutely. Thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
My pleasure.
Wendy Machin is the president of the New South Wales motoring body, the NRMA.